This is Sean O'Brien for Art Talk. I'm at the Art Space Gallery down in Woolloomooloo in Sydney to view the exhibition Vivarium by the Dutch artist Roderick Heetbrink. And I'm going to be talking to Roderick as well. Good morning, Roderick.
Good morning.
Now, Roderick, can you first of all tell us about this particular video installation that you've created while you've been here in residency at the Art Space Vivarium? Tell us what the content is and what you're exploring in that work.
Well, before I came to Sydney, I decided to, of course, investigate a little in what would be interesting to as a starting point for my work. And so I found out that botanic gardens, which are situated in the heart of Sydney, have a very long history, and which goes back to this, to the very beginning of Sydney. And I thought it would be really interesting to work with the cultivation of nature within the heart of the city, and then the city that is slowly expanding, and this kind of the layers of having the greenhouse in the center, then the city surrounding it, and then nature surrounding the city again. So I started to work with this idea, and went to the botanic gardens to have a look at the tropical center, which I was fascinated by, and then started working out this idea to film inside the gardens. And
was it your first time in Sydney?
This is my first time in Australia. Yeah.
So what was your impressions of Sydney when you first started looking around? Did you discover what you thought you would find here from doing your research?
It's hard to tell. I mean, the first thing that I was really fascinated by when I arrived was that it's a city as many other cities in the world, Western based city basically. So it wasn't really difficult for me to maneuver through the city. I know the language of this city. What fascinated me was that nature is completely replaced by another nature, basically. So I had this kind of naive expectation that like a lot of plants and a lot of trees and birds in particular would live globally. So the birds that you see in Holland, like regular crows and stuff, would also live here. But then it turned out that they don't live here, and instead other species live here, which kind of resemble the ones in Europe, but are definitely different. And so that was really interesting, because it really felt like a normal city, but different because of these kind of small nuances. Yeah.
You're from Rotterdam, is that right?
Yes, I am.
Is there a much greater sense of the proximity of nature in Sydney than you would get in Rotterdam?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, I think in the whole of Holland and in a big part of Europe, nature is completely cultivated. Maybe it's cultivated here to a certain extent as well within the city, but it feels more lush and more wild by itself, maybe because it's, the type of vegetation is different, it's a kind of... in Holland, every tree is like they decide where to put it, and then to create this natural forest, basically. So, it's a very different approach to it, and I think that's also where my whole fascination for the cultivation of nature and this whole planning of urban environment comes from.
And tell us a little bit more about what actually happens in the video installation Vivarium. There seems to be a narrative running through it.
Mm. Well, it's difficult to explain exactly, but it's like a kind of a reverse documentary. So it's about this woman who is a botanist in the greenhouse in the tropical center in Sydney. We follow her, but not by really depicting her life, but much more everything around it. So she's basically appearing in the edge of the frame, and it's much more about the plants and this kind of character that these plants kind of gain while the work progresses. So we see her in the tropical center working, and in the nursery working with propagating plants, and then she moves to her house, where a similar situation is going on. She's also you know, nursing plants in her house, you know. And I think that the whole work is a bit metaphor for that, that she's nursing herself by nursing the plants. It's trying to, you know, create control over a small piece of world, basically, to create her own. Yeah, and then the work, I don't know how to say it, transgresses to the next layer, which is the you know, the Blue Mountains or the horizon, basically. So we see her in the apartment and then gazing at the horizon, deciding to leave. There is a narrative, but it's all very, you know, open in that sense.
Sure.
for the audience to decide whether this is, you know, whether this is real time, whether she's really moving towards the forest or not. Mm. But anyway, in the end of the work, she kind of disappears.
Into the forest.
Into the forest, yeah.
And then the work itself is on a loop, and it picks up at a point where we're in the forest, but then we transport back into the actual tropical plant center.
Exactly, yeah. That's. I mean, I really try to create this kind of transition from a natural situation to this cultivated nature, because I think there's not so much difference between them. We look to nature with cultivated eyes. It's really hard to see, to be able to see nature as something unordered, chaotic. You know, we are always trying to construct or trying to, you know, to, yeah.
So you're exploring nature within the urban environment, encroachment of urban environment on the natural environment, mm-hmm. and the way that humans move between the two, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the whole thing is really a metaphor for this trying, you know, for our need to control things and to create our own small environment, just for the sake of understanding your own life. And I think that's what really fascinates me, this living in an urban environment. To me personally, there is a love-hate relationship with the city. Yeah, on the one hand, it's a place you decide to live because so much is going on, but at the same time, it's a very hostile or aggressive environment.
Yes.
I don't know if it's hostile the right word then, or
aggressive, hostile.
Okay.
Did it strike you that Sydney is the type of city where you can escape to the wilderness?
I think what interested me when reading about the history of Australia and Sydney, the notion of a natural prison, which was, you know, used in the early days of the colonization. And I think nature in that respect is kind of a natural prison. I think, like, for example, in Holland, if you would try to get lost in a forest, it doesn't work. You can't get lost, basically, because there is always something in the vicinity of, you know, it won't stretch long, first of all, and then there are always people, you know, and so you can't really get lost. And here it's much more, I'm really fascinated by this idea of being able to, you know, to disappear.
In your time in Sydney, could you recognise anything within the Australian psyche that that frames the way Australians live within their environment and with the proximity of nature so close at hand, in contrast to the way people in Europe live?
That's a difficult question. I think I should move out of Sydney to really experience that way of, you know, of dealing with your surrounding. But I think I did see some of the. I went to the Blue Mountains, and I definitely experienced the vastness of the landscape. And I'm planning to travel to the desert in the next few weeks to experience this more, because of course what I kind of portrayed in this work, it's a very small part of Australia. I mean, a big part of Australia is not so lush and green as this work is.
How does vivarium fit into the scope of the sort of work that you explore in your video installation work?
Well, I did a number of video installations in the last 7 years that all deal with urban environments and especially with modernist architecture. I mean, what I was fascinated by when I started working with video was the, which was around 2000, the way modernist architecture is constructed, the materials that it's used, and the way people maneuver through all this kind of, as I said, hostile environment. You know, a lot of concrete, a lot of glass, a lot of steel, And it's all for the sake of, you know, practicality and you know, usability, economic. But at the same time, it's a very unpersonal landscape.
You were saying before that a lot of your installation work is very much engaging with the architectural space that it's set in. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and some of the spaces that your work has been shown in?
Yeah. Well, I created an installation called Corner Coroni, which was shown at Kunsthaus Britannien in Berlin a couple of years ago. And this was a work that I created in while being in residency in Berlin, similar residency as the residency I'm doing right now here at ArtSpace. I created a work there that was focusing on modern architecture, especially situated around Potsdamer Platz, which is like the heart of like corporate heart of Berlin basically, and which is also developed in the last 10 years from from being a big square with nothing to high rises, and very much as I said. Modernist oriented, so it has this kind of New York Chicago look. What I did there was I filmed inside an empty office block, which was completely unfurnished, but I mean carpet was there and everything was there to be to be moved in and used by offices or by businesses. I created this work with two projections where there's this dialogue about the details within the building and how time passes by. Yeah, the look outside of the building. It was projected in a corner, so the two projections came together in a corner. And the idea was that the sound, which was surround sound, created a kind of environment and played with the notion of things happening outside the space as well as in, but you know, this kind of border between the world that you are presented with, by the projections, and the actual, the physical space, the exhibition space itself. And I'm very much interested in this kind of creating a border between, or a mirror, or a window between the viewer and the work that they're watching. I think in that work, as well as in this work, I try to create this kind of situation where you as a viewer are with one leg in one world and with the other in the other world, so.
Tell us a little bit more about the setup for the screening of Vivarium. You've created a kind of a vessel or box for the screen.
Yeah, it's a kind of glass casing, covered with wood around, and then the front and back are glass panels. And the idea was to create an installation where the projection is divided from the physical space. So as a viewer, you can't really reach the work itself. And at the same time, of course, it really relates to a greenhouse, or in this case a vivarium, which literally means a casing to hold life. Basically, it differs from for example a terrarium in that respect that a terrarium is first of all it's kind of a drier landscape, but it's mainly to study plants and stuff, whereas a vivarium is a kind of a close environment to study animals in a natural landscape, of course a created landscape. But so I thought it would be really interesting, because I think that the way that humans live in their homes, and especially in this work, looking out through these big glass panels onto the city, has very strong resemblance with the actual greenhouse. And so I try to create this installation where the whole work is inside a kind of a display, a casing, a greenhouse in that sense.
Tell us a little bit more about the actual sound design as well, which is a surround effect. When you're in there watching, what sort of sounds you've used, what kind of processing you've done to the sounds?
I mean, most sounds are recorded live, but they are not the actual sounds. So I made use of a lot of sounds that are recorded here in my studio. And like, for example, the woman is walking many times through the nursery and on the street and in her house. And all these sounds that she makes are replaced by new sounds, which I think is really adding to the whole tactility, you might say, to the work. It makes you more aware of all these particular sounds and movements, and you know, really focus your attention to them. And by working with a surround sound, I'm able to place sounds in specific positions within, you know, in relation to the projection, which is centered in the center of the space.
The sounds of nature are very present as well, but then another level again, which is could be the processed sounds of nature creating an almost subterranean rumble.
Yeah, well, I really like to exaggerate this whole notion of the cultivated environment by making use of sounds similar to reality, but then a slightly displaced sound. I mean, I combine the sounds with the electronic sounds, which I also created in my studio with a computer. I think it's very cinematic in a way. So there is this kind of layer of creating really like environmental sounds, basically. But then there is also the soundscape, or the, I don't know how to call it, but like the ambient sounds of like that create a kind of carpet, I would say.
Sure. The fact that you mentioned the word cinematic leads me to the next question, which is a work like this I could almost view on a single screen in a cinema. Because it does have some element of narrative in it, mm-hmm. and it certainly commands your attention for the full length of it, which is about 12 to 13 minutes. Have you ever thought about making work for the cinema, or do you specifically want to work in a video installation way?
Yeah, I really prefer the video installation way because I think cinema is a very passive way of you know, absorbing a work, whereas in this case you can walk around the work, and it's very much about you as an audience in relation to the space and the work. Whereas I think in a cinema you're very much you're very passive. You know, you're sitting down, but you just have to take it as it comes, and you can't really decide. You know, you're not free to move through the space. I think in that way, every visual artwork that is placed in a space has a certain interactivity to it, because you can decide as if you were from which side to view it, and also decide to walk away, or you know, for example, the fact that it's looped means that a lot of people will enter the work at a different time. You know. So they won't all see the work from the beginning till the end. They will probably see it as you somewhere halfway, and then create their own story, basically, because they didn't see it from the start. They created their own start, which I think is fine in a way. But I really hope that people will stay maybe even two cycles and then start to realize, the whole the story that is told.
And finally, tell us about the experience of the residency here in Sydney and the making of the work while being in residency, some of the challenges involved, and I guess some of the inspiration and influence of the city itself upon your work.
The residency here is really good. I really enjoy staying here.
How long has the residency been?
I've been here since end of April, so a little over 2 months now. And it's situated in a perfect location, right at Bullamaloo Bay, and it's really nearby the tropical center, which was very convenient for me because I went there many times to, you know, to research and finally film. And also the central business district and like King's Cross and everything is really nearby, so that's really good. At the same time, it also keeps you in this vicinity, and it's hard to move out of the city, and it's a big city, so yeah, I mean, I went to like Petersham, for example, but I didn't come much further than that, you know, traveling by train within the city.
Although I noticed on the little blog that you've been keeping, you did a bushwalk down on the Boxvale track the Natai National Park.
Yes, yes. See, we did. No, it was very nice. And I also went to Mount Wilson, where I did some of the shooting that is in the work, which is situated in the middle of the Blue Mountains. Like, I went also to Glenbrook to do the sound recording for the last part of the work. But these are all, except of the Boxvale track trip, the other trips were work, basically, you know. So, but I'm planning to move around the city and hopefully see the desert in the next few weeks until the end of my residency. Yeah.
And are you always planning ahead? Do you have the next project lined up at this point?
Well, I'm planning to create more work here in the next few weeks, which I will take home and start working on it at home, because there's a lot here that we don't have in Europe. So I'm very eager to get this work before I leave, especially like photos and filming and stuff and sounds. But there is a project coming up in Italy actually in the next month, and it's also in relating to a botanic garden. So which is kind of a coincidence. I don't know if it is, but it's typical because this is the first time that I work with a botanic garden. Mm. So it's kind of a coincidence that this other project also involves gardens. But I'm looking forward to work on that. Yeah.
Sure. And finally, this podcast has quite a few subscribers in Rotterdam. Mm. Do you want to send a message?
You mean in Dutch? Yeah. wat zal ik zeggen? Bedankt voor het luisteren en hopelijk tot binnenkort.
Roderick, thanks very much for talking to us.
You're welcome.